Sue Porto and company did an amazing job putting this special service here together today at Alberton, and I'm so grateful to be part of the Earth Day service here. And because she's so organized and committed to a holistic approach to today's service, she asked me to let her know the title of my talk a few weeks ago. And generally, I like to let the days preceding wherever I have to show up and talk, but whatever happens in those days kind of direct the focus of what I'm going to talk about. I'm one of those speakers who, if I work too hard polishing and reworking what I'm going to say, it comes out sounding a little bit too slick. I used to work in advertising. And, you know, we just work it till it just doesn't even sound human anymore. I just work better under pressure. So if I have 2 days to put something together amazing, it usually comes off pretty well. But in this case, I really had no trouble coming up with today's talk and what today's title is for my talk, which is called Our Constant Nature. And, of course, I want to talk about nature today because it is Earth Day. But I want to talk about people, too. Because we have a relationship with Mother Earth. She supports us, and we, in turn, pledge to keep her safe. And that's in our nature. That's our human nature. And whether we recognize it or not, it's kind of a contract that we have with the Earth, our mutual support. And nobody is born disrespecting the planet. Littering and polluting are learned behaviors. As we grow up and learn from society that there's more value in gold than in the rock where the gold is, we have no compunction about destroying that rock. And as we learn that there's more value in oil, we have no than in the sand or the sea above it, we don't really have any problem then kind of devaluing those beautiful, the beautiful natural landscapes. And as we put more stock in the almighty dollar, we lose touch with the value and fragility of our climate. But make no mistake about it, these values are taught. They're given to us by self-serving people who have forgotten the very planet that supports them. But our nature is one that recognizes the unity and harmony with Earth, that is our inheritance as children of God. And we often call her Mother Earth because our planet provides all that we need to survive, including other human beings. She comes complete with food and water and shelter and all the ingredients required to grow food and water and shelter, and she gives us community. She may hold viruses, but she also holds cures. Growing right next to poison ivy is a plant called jewelweed, which is the perfect antidote for that. Mother Nature maybe gives us headaches, but she also gives us willow bark, which is the natural form of aspirin. We're more than guests on this planet. We're offspring. That's why we have nature. And like any good children who appreciate the care our mother gives us, as we grow up and mature, we in turn provide care for our parent. It's the nature of our Mother Earth to provide balance and all that we need to survive. And it's most natural for us too to seek to share what we have and to seek personal and interpersonal balance. It is the nature of our Mother Earth to heal and evolve, and that's our nature too. And just as Earth has been our steward and will continue to be for as long as we have a physical life here, we have a responsibility, and it's in our nature, to be stewards for the Earth. Remember that disrespect is antithetical to our nature. We have to learn to devalue the climate, the wetlands, the flora, and the fauna. And that really gives me hope. It's a little counterintuitive, right? But it gives me hope because it means that we can learn to revalue those things. Very often when I'm asked to talk about, you know, the Feast of St. Francis and Blessing of the Animals or Earth Day and Healing the Earth, and you get a microphone, it's easy to start talking about what everybody should do. You should recycle. You shouldn't eat this, you should treat things this way, and you shouldn't consume too many fossil fuels, and you should watch your carbon footprint. So I'm not going to make that suggestion, what we all should do, except to offer this. Let's begin by healing our own values. Let's look at our own lives. Think about just being the steward of your own yard, your own home, your own consumption. Don't worry about whether your neighbor is recycling. That's a, you know, worrying about what's happening globally is a very important part of keeping us aware of trends. But what we can actively do, what we can begin doing, is looking in our own lifestyle and giving most of our energy and direction there. And then by our example, showing our neighbors, showing our children, showing our other family and friends a wonderful way to be. I mentioned Sue earlier. I have to tell you, last year, she talked to me about the dairy industry. I thought I was making good choices when I was drinking raw milk or choosing goat's milk, organic, humane. And she educated me. And over the course of a couple of months, I continued to educate myself, and I made a change for myself to eliminate this from my diet. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell everybody, you should do this. But if we look to our own lives and we are open to hearing what people can share with us by the example of their own lives, nobody likes to be preached to. Nobody likes to be lectured to. And that's, I'm taking special care not to do that with you guys. But when somebody gives you an idea and you can see how their life is better because of the way they're living it, it makes it more palatable, more possible, and also gives you a reference where you can check in with that person. Sue and I stayed in touch as I was making this transition. This is just my own example, away from dairy. And she, to this day, even this morning, she offered me help and offered me more education about this. And so when I began to make that change, just in this small example, and I talked to my friends about it, and I talked to my family, I even talked to my chiropractor about it. And, you know, he was asking me kind of what I was eating and what I was doing. And in my own way, because I was living the change, there's probably a half a dozen people who have made a similar change. And that's not because I went around shaking my finger in people's faces and you should pick up after yourself and you should do this. And let's, you know, those, a lot of that legislation is important. Education is important. But the best thing that I know that I can do for myself, and what I would, at the very least, ask you guys to do, and maybe you have energy and attention left over to speak to your congressmen and women and to go to schools and to share other information, but begin at home. Just choose one thing, and anything that you can do, and make it a habit. Plant flowers that attract honeybees or butterflies. Maybe pick up the litter as you walk your dog or hike in the woods. Don't use pesticides in your own lawn. Just pick one thing. Reduce your consumption of plastics. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to put solar panels on your roof, which is a great idea. Or change out your septic system or something that's composting. Again, a great idea, but very expensive. And when things seem overwhelming or very expensive, people go, "Ooh, later, not me," or "I can't afford to do that yet." But if you do one thing that serves and stewards your Mother Earth, people notice. And you don't have to preach, and you don't have to get in someone's face about it, but you just begin to change. The right livelihood of your actions is more progressive and more and communicated more effectively than what you simply might say. You know, you can store your leftovers in glass instead of plastic. You can ask your local shopping center to recycle the plastic shopping bags. Any small thing that you can do, just pick one and make it a habit. You can love your own little plot of land, whether it's a container garden on your balcony or acres of crops. You can talk to the earth when you're sitting outside in nature. I walk with my dog in the woods almost every morning, and there's a particular tree that I hug. I'm a tree hugger. I freely admit it. It just fits. It's where the roots are. There's two little places for my feet, and it just fits like right here. I can put my cheek against it. And the dog usually is, you know, ahead of me somewhere. And I come around the corner, and he's always sitting by the tree. I'm like, all right, we're going to sit here for a few seconds. And it's just really cool. He recognizes, too, now that we're going to have a little pause here. We're going to hug it out, me and the trees. But it's great, because if I'm feeling cruddy or I'm angry or something, I just get to be next to something I don't have to explain myself to. And I just can feel all the tension or anxiety or resentment, whatever it is that I'm carrying, just drain right down out of the soles of my feet into the earth. And my spirits are uplifted when I look up and I see the branches and the trees soaring up into the sky. Just one little thing, one little activity can reconnect you with your Mother Earth, can remind you of the joys of being a steward. It is a joyful business. And it's easier than you think because it's in your nature. Amen.